first reading this morning is from Genesis, chapter 37, verses 2 to 33, which starts on page 41 in the Church Bibles. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out of the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his fathers kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he went to them and said, Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived in Shechem, a man found him wandering around the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of all his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So, when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe into the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." The second reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, which can be found on page 1184 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which bounds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Dear Lord, speak to our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. Speak to us through these simple words, through me, and show us something new. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. To start with, I wonder if we can do a show of hands. Who here has brothers or sisters, stepbrothers or sisters, half-brothers or sisters, or friends who are like brothers and sisters? Okay, it's a good set, good showing. Who here has more than one child? Okay, good. If you haven't raised your hand, you don't know how much stress you might have actually avoided. But whether you've raised your hands or not, I'm sure you can relate to some of the themes that we saw in Genesis 37. There is parental favoritism with the coat. There is the annoying younger sibling. There is sibling rivalry. There is conflict that comes from that rivalry. There is the cover-up and lying to parents. It's all there in the story of Joseph. But from these verses, what can we possibly learn about forgiving one another? What I'd like to do is jump into the story and look at two different perspectives. First, from Joseph's perspective. From verses 3 to 11, we see the start of this animosity between Joseph and his brothers. His dad, and perhaps we can have some empathy. His dad loved him more than any of his other sons, so the brothers hated him. Have you ever had people hate you for no reason of your own? For no fault of your own? Well, Joseph did. Joseph shared a dream about his future, and they hated him even more, the Bible said. Have you ever had people turn against you because of your gifts and talents and ambitions? Well, Joseph did. Well, now let's look at the story from the brother's perspective. You've been a good child, a good employee, and a new person comes along and takes all the limelight. Do you know that feeling? Well, the brothers did. Have you ever met someone who comes in their high horse, talking about how how much they're going to achieve, often at your expense? Do you know that feeling? Well, the brothers did. Maybe we can see ourselves in Joseph or the brothers. If we're honest, can't we all have favorites? Can't we all boast and think our achievements are sometimes more than others? Can't we all get wound up and overreact? Favoritism, envy, jealousy and pride are the cause of conflict between the brothers. They're the cause of many conflicts. And as we saw in the brothers, the temptation to react is oh so easy. The Bible says that evil and sin are crouching at the door, oh ever so ready to devour us. But what is sin? Sin is often the catalyst for a relationship breakdown. It can be described as moral failure. To miss the goal of being a true human, a failure to love God with all your heart and to love thy neighbor. The Bible writers refer to sin as this power within us, these selfish desires that cause us to act for our own benefit. We can be slaves to sin. The Bible always uses these funny words that we don't really use in modern day vocabulary. It uses words like transgression or trespass to describe sin, which refers to how we break the trust, violate and break the trust of others. Trespass. It uses the word like iniquity, which refers to our wicked behavior, our scheming plans as illustrated by the brothers, the plotting, the lying, the selling of their brother. If the worst thing you have done is run through a field of wheat, then perhaps you don't need much forgiving. But if you're like me and a lot of other people here, if you count up the daily breaches of trust, the missed goals, for even some of us, the wicked schemes that we hatch, then like the brothers, we all need forgiveness. But there is hope. The prophet Isaiah said this about Jesus. He said, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that was brought upon him, that was meant for us, was brought upon him. And by his wounds on the cross, we can and are healed. In Jesus, we can get the forgiveness that we need. What is forgiveness? There are 7 words that the Bible translates to be forgiveness. I won't say them now because I can't pronounce half of them. But they refer to divine forgiveness or human forgiveness. And they describe the action to put aside, to pardon, to overlook, to release from a debt. When someone offends you, they owe you, yeah, an apology, yeah. They owe you a debt, yes. To forgive someone is to release them from that debt. No, someone said. Yes, to release them from that debt is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a command from God and something between you and God. Romans 12 verse 19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Jesus, as Steve says, when Jesus teaches us to pray, he causes us to commit to one thing in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our debts, we pray, as we have also forgiven others. Forgive us as we forgive. Therefore, forgiveness is a choice. Do you choose to follow this command, or do you choose not to miss the goal and to sin? Belief in Jesus Christ secures us divine forgiveness. A divine forgiveness that gets us this ticket into heaven. So whether you've got the boastful tendencies of Joseph, or you've had the scheming behaviors of the brothers, Psalms 103 tells us that the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. Psalms 103 says, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. The Lord has compassion on all those that believe in him. Do you believe in him? Before I move on, let me talk about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not condoning. It's not ignoring or saying it made no difference. Romans 12 also tells us that we are to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. Forgiveness is not natural. If you hurt me and my family, I'm a boy from South London. I want to get even. Therefore, forgiveness takes effort. Holding on to unforgiveness can be like holding on to cancer. It spreads. It produces symptoms of bitterness and anger and a lack of peace. It spreads and shuts us off from other people, from institutions like the church. It shuts us off from our community. Therefore, as a result of receiving forgiveness, forgiving others should be a characteristic of anyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. Coming back to Genesis, Joseph is an example to us of how not to let the sin of unforgiveness hold us back in life. If you don't know the story, Joseph ends up being the governor of Egypt. And his brothers come down to buy grain in a famine and come down to meet him. When his father dies in chapter 50, the brothers think he's going to act out revenge on them. But he says, no, am I in the place of God? Joseph knows that forgiveness and revenge is for God. But before that, in Genesis 41, we see that Joseph shows us how he coped with this past. In Genesis 41, Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh and says, it is because God has made me forget all of my trouble and all of my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Are you ready, like Joseph, to forgive the wrongs of your past and to walk a fruitful life in Christ? Maybe today is a chance for you to start that journey. So let's get practical. How do we do this? How do I know if I need to forgive someone? Well, in our second reading, the writer holds up a mirror to us by which we can reflect. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I have found if I'm unable to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient to the people I hold dearly, if I am unable to show this to people, then there's usually something in the way. Our thoughts and behaviors towards others can be a sign of a heart full or free from unforgiveness and the bitterness and anger that so accompanies unforgiveness. Although Joseph wasn't around when it was written, he clearly understood Colossians 3 verse 13, our focus verse. It says, bear with one another, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, please forgive as the Lord forgave you. Who is one another? One another is the brothers and sisters around you in church today. Take a look. Have a look. Who's here? Forgive one another, it says. Forgive for what? We're in church. Forgive for those who made decisions that we didn't agree with. Forgive the ministers for events and situations that didn't go the way we had hoped. Forgive when they got selected and not you. When they were supported and not you. Forgive when they don't say hello. And when they wind you up, like Joseph wound up the brothers. These are just some of the ways we get hurt in church. Because we're vulnerable when we come in here. We expect everyone to be shaking their tambourines, singing kumbaya, and then we walk into something and we're so just hurt. So I can therefore say it's likely that there are people in this church service today who have unforgiveness towards people in this church service today. There may be people online who have decided not to come because of unforgiveness. We have executed revenge. Not revenge, not the modern day version of revenge where we block people on social media and we cancel you. Oh no, in church we're more sophisticated than that. Oh, in church we have this skill to make you invisible. It's like a glass wall can be erected between people and we glance past you like you don't exist. When you talk, we don't hear. When I speak, they don't listen. The net result is ideas instantly rejected. Prayers are subdued. Worship is muted. All because we have served revenge and held on to unforgiveness. Even though the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Who else can be one another? Well, one another can be our households. If we're honest, the people who let us down the most, the people who trespass against us and break our trust, are the people that we live with and ourselves. Maybe it's the people that we've come with today or the people that we're watching with online. It can be our husbands, our wives, our children, our siblings, our parents. Sometimes it's the simple stuff. When they bring down the darks after you've already put the wash on. Or it can be the heavy stuff. The lack of appreciation. The outbursts of anger. The lies or the condescending talk. It was around March 2022 when my little sister was ill with pneumonia in hospital. And I said, I'm going to visit her. So as I set off, I felt God nudge me to say, I want you to apologize to her. Me? Apologize to her? For what? I'm allowed to say what I want. I'm her big brother. I know that's my right as a big brother to say and cast out my opinions. But all the way to Croydon, God was nudging me. Say sorry for everything and anything. So I did. By a hospital bed, I said, sorry, Mel, for anything I've done to hurt you. For the opinions I've thrown. For the opinions I've thrown. For the thoughts that I've said. As the tears flowed, she confessed. She thought I always judged her. She thought I always looked down on her. I'm sorry, no, I was just trying to look out for you. I'm your big brother. That's what big brothers do. 9 months later, she died. But we had made our peace. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, do not let the sun go down today or on your life without being forgiven from above and forgiving others. Joseph chose to live a fruitful life, and we can choose to do the same. So let's wrap this up. When Jesus teaches about forgiveness in Matthew 18, he tells the story of a servant that was so unforgiving that he was thrown in jail to be tortured. Tortured with the guilt of unforgiveness. Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. The heart which is the source of our emotions, where our hurt and feelings are held. The heart that we are to use to love thy neighbor and to love God. Most people want to forgive the memories in their head. But here Jesus and the word of God is telling us we need to forgive from the heart. Forgiveness comes when you forgive the hurt feelings and the scars that are left on your heart. The torment, the fear, the disappointment, the anger, the loneliness, the pain. How can we love our neighbor with all of our heart if we're carrying these scars? The good news is that Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He came to heal the brokenhearted. So today, are you up for some heart surgery? To forgive from your heart and also to be forgiven? Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life to the full. A life free from pain of the past. A fruitful life. A life of good works that will transform your home and transform your community. If you're up for this life and you want some God to do something special in your heart today, can I invite you to raise your hand? Amen. In a moment, Sarah is going to come and lead us into some response prayers. But I want to do two things before I step down. The first one, I want to declare an amnesty, an end to hostilities, where we lay down our weapons of revenge in our houses and in our church, and we lift up the word of God of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I declare that today is the end of hostilities. The second, can I say a blessing for you? I bless you in the name of Jesus, that the Father may bless you. I bless you that the peace and the joy of God that comes with being forgiven will come upon you, will be in every part of your life, physical life, your mental life, your social life, and your spiritual life. And as we read in Colossians 3, may the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. In Jesus' name, amen.